Seth, our next guest, has been traveling all across the state since receiving a cancer diagnosis in 2011.
She set out to visit and photograph the state's 500-plus historical markers, but one thing led to another, and today her website has more than 20,000 pictures of historical sites, roadside attractions, and museums from around Wisconsin.
And her journey has turned into more than just visiting sites and taking photos. She's looking to share our state's history with the next generation.
Melinda Roberts joins us now. She's a teacher, writer, and historian who's traveled the state over the past 5 years, taking photos of historical markers, monuments, and more. Melinda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob and Veronica, for inviting me.
Now, you received a cancer diagnosis in the year 2011, and that was the kick for you. You decided to start photographing historical markers. Why did you choose historical markers?
Well, I had just moved to Wisconsin in June of 2011, and when I was given my two-year window, my doctor suggested I go do something since we didn't know how much time I had. So I took a trip to Baraboo to see the Man Mound, and along the way discovered some of the State Historical Society markers, and I decided I would go visit all of them, you know, to learn the history of my new home and to get a chance to travel around.
And Melinda, you mentioned this was 2011. You had this two-year prognosis.
Yeah.
You're talking to us happily in 2016.
Yes.
If I may ask, how has your cancer treatment gone since then?
I was given a cancer-free diagnosis in February of 2015 ahead of schedule because everything has gone so well. And I quite frankly attribute it to the project because
really?
I was so focused on things other than cancer. And I believe that that's what got me through and passed my diagnosis.
And along the way, you learned more about yourself, your own history, including a distant relative who worked on some of these historical sites. What did you learn there?
Well, I had always heard about my Uncle Yelmer Holland, who was writing prolifically about the Norwegians just coming to America before Columbus. So growing up in the 60s, I had to take his books to my classrooms on Columbus Day out in Southern California and proclaim, you know, the insanity of Columbus Day. And never really knew much about him. He died when I was still in elementary school. And I also knew that my grandmother had given me a Bible, a very old Bible she had when I was in high school. And as I was preparing to move here, I just had an impulse to open it. And there was a note from one of her aunts from Wautoma, Wisconsin. And I had never heard about our family being from Wisconsin. So since I've learned that it was my great-grandmother who immigrated here from Norway along with her brother, Yelmer, and my grandmother and her mother ended up moving out west, and that's how I ended up being born in California. But Uncle Yelmer stayed here, and he established the Door County Historical Society, which is celebrating its 90th anniversary this year. He was very involved in the Wisconsin Historical Society and the Green Bay Historical Society and placing markers and participating in research and writing. He wrote the Door County history that was written in the early 1900s, and it was just really interesting to learn that many of the markers I had already photographed had been placed by his efforts.
Wow, so these markers had this hidden link between you and a relative.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people, I certainly noticed these brown signs put up by the Historical Society around the state. Looking at all of them, as you have, of finding all 500 or so of them, I think was the number. What did you feel a stronger connection to the state you live in?
Oh, absolutely. I begin to believe that I have been brought here for a reason. And there's the State Historical Society marker series is around 550-something right now. But I continued beyond that and have found that many counties have their own fabulous marker systems, Milwaukee, Dane, Waukesha County, Washington County. They all have markers separate from the State Historical Society. And then you'll also find local groups that want to recognize their church. For example, here in Green Bay, we have Union Congregational Church, which has its own marker and talks about how they were part of the Underground Railroad. Markers can be placed by the state. They can be placed by a county or a historical society or a group or even an individual that wants to recognize their own family history at a location in a community.
How did you choose where you were going? Did you get a list and start there, or did you stumble on some places along the way?
Well, initially when I started there, the State Historical Society has a document PDF in numerical order, but that's how it's organized numerically. And so it took me about 60 hours to put it into an order by county. And then I went to each county and sort of checked off the markers. And then along the way, I would discover other markers from historical societies or other groups, or I would turn, you know, make a wrong turn and boom, there's a marker in front of me or a veterans memorial. And I began to stumble upon a lot of things that were not documented online at all. So my website now has almost over 5,300 markers and sites and about 60,000 photographs of Wisconsin. Not just the markers, but I also try to photograph the beauty, because a lot of them are in absolutely gorgeous locations like Ozitlan and many of the churches that are out in rural communities that are just beautiful. I mean, the whole state is just beautiful. There's markers inside the state parks. There's just markers everywhere.
We're talking to Melinda Roberts of De Pere. A cancer diagnosis 5 years ago launched her on a project to document historical markers around the state of Wisconsin. She shares those photos online. And Melinda, why was the photographing and sharing part of this project such an important part of it for you?
Well, I'm a teacher. I have a background in teaching and teaching college kids. And I had, in order to keep up with them, I had to go online. So I had all my classroom curriculum online so they could access it and not give me excuses about forgetting. And that led me to, learning how to develop websites. So when the marker project started and I was taking a lot of photos, it just seemed like the natural place to put them. I also kind of have an intuitive enjoyment of organizing. And so I thought here would be a good place to organize the markers by county. And then people could go and, they wanted to go into that area, they would know where all the markers are. So my website is the only one that does that, that has everything organized by county. And I'm actually working with the state cartographer right now. We're putting together a map app that people could go to and click on a little dot and it'll pop up and show them a marker and give them instructions on how to go visit.
And is there anything in particular you do with the photography? Are you a photographer already and this became part of what you did, or did you learn about that along the way too?
I've always enjoyed photography. My father loved photography. I honestly wish I had some of his old cameras. You know, they'd be classics now. And so when I had already been taking digital classes and had invested in the camera before I moved to Wisconsin, so this gave me an opportunity to really sort of perfect my art, and I've gone through two cameras, and I'm on a new lens, finally invested in a really nice lens, and I just really enjoy the nature photography and really try to get everything in the best light, literally. So it's just sort of fun. It's been a blessing, because a lot of things come through the lens that I didn't even realize I was taking pictures of. And that's fun, too.
I want to visit some of the sites you mentioned and some of the stories you've learned. The Eagle, Old Abe, famous story in Wisconsin. First of all, what kind of markers are out there, and what did you learn?
Well, there's a lot of markers to Old Abe. And I think, coming from another state, I've just been so intrigued on the marvelous stories here, the history here, that you don't learn when you're not living here. And so Old Abe was an eagle that was captured by a young Native American out in the Chippewa Falls area. And he went to the Civil War with the 8th Wisconsin. And all along the way, the soldiers knew that Old Abe was a female eagle. But they felt that if the Confederates knew that they had brought a female eagle with them, that they would get teased about it. So they hid her gender. And in fact, Chippewa Historical Society has letters from one of the captains where he was collecting Abe's eggs and eating them, and Abe would attack the soldier that was collecting the eggs. So he sent home these letters, and he sent home a feather of Old Abe. And there's other documentation, and there's a historian from Chippewa Falls that has done a lot of research and has absolutely confirmed that Old Abe is female, but nobody wants to claim, give her that credit as being female. She's a female eagle, and she is our most famous veteran. She is the symbol for the 101st Airborne, and everybody says he. So I have this fantasy of going around to all the markers with a gold plaque and correcting the pronoun from he to she. And, you know, as a woman, I find that it's, you know, a little like, come on, let's give her credit. She's a female eagle. And she came home a veteran, a decorated veteran. She was very famous after the war. And I would love to see her given credit as a female.
Yeah, I think you just did it, Melinda. I had not known that until you said it right here. I can't believe the guy who was eating her eggs, the eggs of Old Abe along
well,
the way.
By the way, he was killed in the war. Not very long after those letters were written.
So much history. Well, we're talking right now with Melinda Roberts about her journeys around the state to document different historical sites, museums, and more. And we'd like to hear from you.
Do you have a favorite historical spot or roadside attraction in Wisconsin? When you visit someplace new in the state, do you make a point to see the local monuments, the local markers? Do you always read those Brown State Historical Society signs? And are you involved in local history projects in your own community? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about one woman's journey around the state to document historical sites, museums, and attractions. And you can join our conversation.
Do you have a favorite historical site or museum or roadside attraction somewhere in the state? Have you visited the world's largest six-pack in La Crosse, visited the Bronze Fonz statue in Milwaukee, or taken in other sites? Do you make a habit of reading the local historical markers? Are you planning to check any out this summer? And are you involved in local history, or do you have a question for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Melinda Roberts stays with us. And Melinda, we talked about Old Abe, who turns out to have been a girl eagle. Now, you also found out a marker about an Elvis Presley fight scene in Madison. Yeah. Can you tell us that story?
Well, it was not too long before Elvis died that he came to Madison for a concert, and it was in the wee hours of the morning, and he happened upon a robbery at a gas station. It's right there, not all the way towards the Capitol, but as you're coming into town. And he had the limo pull over, and he jumped out, and he was wearing his, you know, his baggy, what do you call it, the bell-bottom pants. And he jumped out, and he came to the rescue of the young man that was being beaten up. And in the end, all of them shook hands and went their merry way. And it left quite an impression. There's newspaper articles that are online, and I did go. And the marker is very, very tiny. They're on a corner, a very busy corner at a auto sales location. But it's actually one of the most popular markers on my website. It's always in the top 10.
You can see pictures of that and other markers, by the way, at wisconsinhistoricalmarkers.blogspot.com. And we'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
I'm enjoying your show immensely, and your guest especially. I just wanted to give her some thought because she sounds like this is a continuing project. Wisconsin has a tremendous nautical tradition. I'm a sailor as a hobbyist, and what she might want to consider in adding to her website or just visiting is the outstanding lighthouses that Wisconsin has from Superior to Milwaukee. They are some of the finest and most distinctly historical monuments in the country, and I just wanted to contribute that.
Thank you so much, Jim. Have you included lighthouses and other nautical-themed memorials, Melinda?
Yes, in fact, I've photographed a lot of the lighthouses. I have been to Superior but was not able to get to many of the lighthouses, and that's actually on my to-do list. There's also a series of markers by the Wisconsin Historical Society, maritime series of markers, which talks about many of the shipwrecks and other maritime history, and I've collected almost all of those, except the ones up there in Superior. Yes, Door County, I believe, has the most lighthouses of any county in the country, if I'm not mistaken, and I have visited all of those, and they are absolutely gorgeous, and I'm jealous of anyone that has a boat that can get onto the water and get to those lighthouses on their own, because many of them require a private vehicle to get to.
Well, thank you so much for that call. And we're going to go next to Linda in Richland Center. Linda, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
So as I was listening, I actually just drove by a historical marker that's close to us. And I thought, oh, I need to call. It's the Boaz Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one?
I have seen that, yes.
It's a mastodon that was found out here, and it's actually in a museum in Madison.
Yes.
In one of the museums there.
She's correct. The mastodon is at the museum on the campus of UW-Madison in their geology museum, mm-hmm. I believe it is. And the mastodon was found after a heavy rainstorm. Some of the bones came up, and a couple of young boys found it. And it has its own state historical society marker, so the state has recognized that as an important location.
Well, thanks so much, Linda. I'm pretty sure we did an interview about that, didn't we?
And we learned the shocking secret about the Boaz mastodon, at least the one you can see at the Geology Museum. The secret was, I believe, it's actually made up of two mastodons.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if the historical marker has been updated, but yeah, two different samples, but it's still very impressive to see and an important part of our prehistoric history here in Wisconsin. Another story that you tell, and I know there are a lot of markers in different places, including one covered up by the Monona Terrace Convention Center in Madison, the Black Hawk Trail, markers for the Black Hawk War here in Wisconsin. Can you tell us a little of that story?
Yeah, that is a fascinating story, and I have photographed the one there, and several of them in Mendota. They're all over Madison on the UW-Madison campus. There's a marker. The State Historical Society erected, I believe, 23 markers that follow the trail, starting with the Battle of Wisconsin Heights. And since I live in Green Bay and I was moving west to finish, the further away places I saved for the last, when I finally got to the last marker, the Battle of Bad Axe, I really had no idea what the outcome was because I've never heard of Black Hawk. And I, kind of thought, oh, this must be some little Wisconsin story. And it turned out to be a tragedy and a massacre of over 1,500, mostly older men, women, and children. Black Hawk was don't remember the tribe that he was in, but his tribe had been moved to the other side of the Mississippi River. And he was older, and he didn't want to leave his lands where he grew up. And so he rallied up members of his tribe, and it became a battle. And when it ended in Prairie du Chien, almost everybody was massacred. He did survive, and he was in prison at Fort Crawford for a while. And what really bothered me was that, number one, I've never heard of this story, but yet we hear of the Trail of Tears, and we hear about the Battle of, I just forgot the name of it, where it's a National Historic Landmark. Wounded Knee, where about 300 people were massacred. I received a call from a sheriff who's out in the Verona area who told me that none of the bodies were ever removed from the Mississippi River. They were just left there to rot, and that cadaver dogs even today go crazy over there. And I thought, why isn't this a national landmark? Why does this massacre receive national attention? And it really broke my heart. And on the marker, Black Hawk was asked, why did you do this? And he said, because I love my land, and I love the history of the land, and he didn't want to give it up. So we look back on these tragic stories as our country was forming, and I think this is a huge tragedy. And I would love to see that location become a national monument with as much dignity and as much compassion as we show to the massacre at Wounded Knee.
And there's more than one Black Hawk marker around the area. I know there's a natural area I go to where there's a Black Hawk marker as well. So it's interesting tracing his steps from the past.
There's, I think I have about 100 different markers for Black Hawk. Like I said, the series from the state, but also many private groups have put up markers. So his story, there's even somebody that wrote three huge books on it. They used to do plays about it back in the 50s, and many people have felt very strongly about how this has been ignored historically, especially at a national level, but even at a local level. So it's one of those stories where you think, my goodness, this is just huge, but it's not really well known.
Time for one more caller. Matt is with us in Marquette. Matt, hi.
Hello there. Yeah, I was just curious if you had ever seen the John Muir historical marker on 22 in between Partyville and Montello.
Yes, I have. And then there's also John Muir has a park that I believe he lived on that property for a while. And there's several markers there honoring John Muir. His birthday was this week, I believe. I put a post on my website. He's our, we consider him our foster child here in Wisconsin. And there's a John Muir Society in this area as well. So, yes, I have visited that marker. I did complete all 532 of the State Historical Society markers within my goal and located about a dozen that they had lost track of. And so I was very fortunate that I did get to see every one of the state markers.
So, Melinda, what's next for you? You've done so much already. What's left on the list?
Oh, my goodness. I'm already planning trips now that the weather's nice. Middleton has a lot of markers. I have several. I want to do all the Belgian chapels in Door County, and I do know about several more markers up there. I probably know of about 1,000 markers right now that I haven't visited, but I also enjoy camping in the state park, so I camp and then I go get the markers. Eau Claire, there's a whole series there that I haven't gotten, and there's many in the Madison area, literally hundreds in the Madison area, and I probably have 200 or 300 left to capture down there.
Well, good luck capturing them
all.
Melinda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again for inviting me. It's been lovely.
That was writer and historian Melinda Roberts talking about her travels around Wisconsin to photograph the state's historical markers, museums, memorials, and more. I'm imagining she has a lot of fans and local historical societies around the state. You can follow her work at wisconsinhistoricalmarkers.blogspot.com and share your favorite markers. You can still do that on the Central Time Facebook page.